This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
And time for Game On with Seat Williams. Hey, if you're a regular listener to the show, obviously I'm not Seat. I'm Brian Feldman, and I'm coming off the bench for Seat Williams today and tomorrow here on NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. So if you're here and you've got an hour, hang out and keep me on your mind, man. Game on, right? Hey, before we jump into things, let me introduce the man behind the Wheel of Steel. He is Ari Mizrachi. Mizrachi, right?
Mizrachi.
Mizrachi. I messed that up. It's just like the poker player.
Yes. Minus the money.
Minus the money. I love that. And, Lay, and if for any reason you don't get enough of me here, please feel free to check out my show called Out of Line. It's Sunday mornings from 8 to 9 on our sister station, which is Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, the radio home of the Vegas Golden Knights. And I also serve as the co-host of UNLV basketball game post-game show called Rebel Extra, starting this Saturday night after the regular season opener versus Florida A&M at the Thompson Mack Center. Of course, that's on our other sister station, the sports leader, ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM. You can follow me on Twitter at Outtaline 1340 AM. That's Outtaline 1340 AM. If you want to get involved, it's easy. Turn down your radio, pick up the phone, and call the NBC Sports studio line. The number is 702-365-9200. A lot going on in the world of sports, and it's not all good. A little later in the show, we'll get good. We'll be joined by Emily Van Buskirk. Emily is the college football and basketball lead writer for the sportsfanjournal.com, and she is co-host of the hottest new sports podcast called Sideline Sass. Emily will be up helping us make sense of this wacky world of college football. It is every year, but it's crazy right now. But let's get started by talking about a tragedy that happened yesterday as former Major League pitching great Roy Halladay died in a plane crash over the Gulf of Mexico off the coast of Florida. If you remember, he pitched the 20th perfect game in Major League Baseball history.
The 1-2 pitch. Hit toward third. Castro has it. Spins. Fires. A perfect game! Roy Halladay has thrown the second perfect game in Philadelphia Phillies history. He faces 27 batters. He retires all 27. It's the 20th perfect game in baseball history, and the second one this year.
That was in May of 2010. He also happened to pitch a no-hitter in the postseason for the Phillies, the second one in history, and walked one in another postseason game where he would have had two postseason. The guy was absolutely incredible. And I thought, you know, I need a baseball guy to help me out talk about Roy Halladay. Obviously, I never even came close to sniffing the major leagues. But Monday night, as you know, if you don't know, we had a party up at Buffalo Wild Wings, Montecito Crossing Plaza for the Basic High School baseball team that won back-to-back state championships in 2016 and 2017. I guess you could call them the reigning state champs. And they went on to form a team with Coach Scott Baker that played in the American Legion last summer. They do it every year. But that team last summer was pretty special. They went all the way to the championship and won it. And then they got invited down to Houston for Game 3 of the World Series. They were on the field there. They got to meet all the players. Really cool experience. We wrapped everything up for that team. We had a little reunion party for them Monday night at the Monday Night Football game. And the third baseman for that team, his name is Garrett Giles, and one hell of a ball player. Has a pretty good arm, too. And I got to meet his father, who, you know, I've never known personally, but obviously known of being a sports junkie. His dad, a ridiculously gloved second second baseman. This man, you remember the Wizard of Oz, Ozzie Smith, who played years and years for the St. Louis Cardinals at shortstop. Well, Brian Giles made some pretty damn athletic plays at second base, and I'll say acrobatic. He's on the phone with us now. Hey, Brian, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, man. I know you heard about, and I know he was a little bit after your day. You wrapped up your career in the early 90s. Holiday came into play in the late 90s. But, wow, what a shock. Roy Holiday, dead at the age of 40, died in a plane crash yesterday. Wild stuff, huh?
Yeah, it's a tragedy. And I think he was one of six pitchers to win the Cy Young. And he won it in the National League and American League. And I think he was MVP, if I'm not mistaken. But he's definitely a legend, and he's going to be greatly missed. And there's a lot of players, a lot of people around the league. I mean, this is a big tragedy.
Oh, it's terrible. And on the phone with us now, Brian Giles, played with the New York Mets, started his career there in 1981 through 83, the Milwaukee Brewers in 85, the White Sox in 86, wrapped up his career with the Seattle Mariners in 1990. And, Brian, about Roy Holiday, he was born and raised in Denver, Colorado. He was wired to play baseball at a young age. The kid was drafted 17th overall in 1995 by the Toronto Blue Jays and rose through their system, made his big league debut in 1998, and came within one out of a no-hitter in just his second career start. He struggled in 2000, spent most of that year back in the minors trying to reinvent himself. He did just that, came back up in 2001, and in 2002, won 19 games. In 2003, he won the American League Cy Young Award with Major League Best 23 wins. He won 148 games total with the Toronto Blue Jays. That is second most in their franchise history, only behind a guy I'm sure you're familiar with, Brian, Dave Steeb, who played more in your day. In December of 2009, he was traded to the Phillies. It was a trade that would pay off very handsomely for the Phillies. Of course, he pitched that perfect game in May of that year. Later on, that same year, his first year there, won the National League Cy Young Award winner, only one of five pitchers in history that have won a Cy Young Award in both the American and the National League. This guy was special, wasn't he?
Yes, he was very special. I mean, he was a diehard pitcher. He would never turn down to getting the ball. And if he was hurt, he would, he would still find a way to get it done. And he's certainly definitely going to be greatly missed.
Oh, he is. You know, I would say a guy like him, he was the definition of durability. 2002 to 2011, he averaged 17 wins and 220 innings per season. Now, check this out. During that time span, Bri, I just learned this today. He led the majors with 170 wins, but check this out. 63 complete games and 18 shutouts between 2002 and 2011. Nobody was even close. Played in 8 All-Star games in that time frame. To do that as a pitcher in modern times, when we have a much more of a live ball, all these guys that can bang with the best of them, those are such incredible numbers. He had a career postseason ERA of 2.37 in 5 career postseason starts, and this guy was special. You know, Bri, the one thing that was really sad is driving in here, I actually talked to a friend of both of ours, Brian Simons, driving in, and Brian was watching the video of the plane flying over the Gulf of Mexico off the course to Florida, the crest, and I guess what's really disheartened me walking in, it actually kind of sent me back a bit. He was showing off. He was hot-dogging in the plane, and he lost control. And I didn't know that, and I don't want to downplay this guy. I don't want to rain on a funeral, but, you've got a family. And at some point in time, you got to figure hot-dogging in an airplane at 40 years old when you got some young kids at home probably isn't the best move to make, right?
Wow, that's kind of hard to believe. I know that he just passed his exam or, his flight school or whatever. I think he had his plane for a month. And I'm sure he's pretty excited about, getting in the air and starting his journey, his path as far as being a pilot. But that's really kind of, that's disheartening. And just, hearing about that way, I mean, it's just, he just, probably, I guess, unlucky.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, I understand it as athletes. We all, at points in our life, have definitely pushed the outer edge of that envelope. Some of the flying leaps you made through your career, Brian, you pushed the outer edge of that envelope. But, that, you know, it was a little bit disheartening. I know his dad was a pilot his whole life, so he grew up in that type of an environment. And nothing wrong with flying your own planes, but, man, there's certain things you don't play around on. And I would think an airplane might be one of those things to add to that list, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's, you know, being a pilot himself, I'm sure he had a bunch of thousands of miles as a pilot, and he was probably just testing the plane out and seeing, you know, trying to, you know, reach those limits as he did on the mound. I mean, he was just unstoppable. His durability was there, and, I mean, it just seemed like he was just untouchable.
For a few years in that guy's career, he was pretty much untouchable. Brian Giles on the phone, former Major League Baseball player. I'm Brian Feldman. Ari Mizrachi behind the wheel of steel here on Game On. And, it's something in Major League history. You just get done with one of the most, Brian, this year, and I know you guys got an opportunity to go down to Houston for part of the World Series as part of this basic team, or I know Garrett did. The thing is I thought this World Series 2017 between the Dodgers and, of course, the world champion Houston Astros was one of the best I've seen in years and years. And it just always seems to work out like this in life. You get done with this great World Series, we're still buzzing about it. I'm a little bit of a Dodgers fan because the other station I work for broadcast Dodgers games. So I kind of have become a fan, went to my first Dodgers game at Dodger Stadium. Man, why does great things always have to follow by tragedy? You know, doesn't it seem like that?
I see what you're saying. I mean, it's just, you know, you saying that, I mean, it's just heart-taking. It's felt, I'm sure, all across the country, you know, in the baseball world. And it was truly a great, exciting experience to watch this World Series and to have my son be at the game. And he was trying to describe how loud it was in Houston. And, I mean, it almost brought tears to my eyes knowing that he was there in that excitement. And it's just one thing about this is it's once in a lifetime type of experience, because you just never know playing this American Legion. I mean, the steps that they went through to get there, and it's just incredible.
No, it absolutely is. It was a great run. I talked about it several times on my show. Of course, had Roger Riley, their catcher, and I had Jack Thomas Wald, who's an absolute beast, their first baseman, who now plays at UNLV. I mean, anybody, Brian. I don't care what league you're playing in. When you hit 17 home runs in a month, that is ridiculous. And I think it was not 17. If I'm not mistaken, was it 21, 22 or something?
23.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, I'm facing a guy that hits 23 home runs a month that's 18, 19 years old, and you know what's happening? Every time he gets on the base, I'm just pointing at first base. Go ahead, man. You ain't going to see a pitch. You are not going to see a pitch. I mean, you know, now tell me, I just heard from Brian Basic High School, they're actually going down and playing in California this weekend in a tournament. And I got to imagine, Brian, and Brian Simon said the same thing, that, man, every good high school team out there that is worth their weight in salt, I would think would want to play Basic High School to get a parameter of where they're at.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to mention the other school here in town, but Basic is probably, I mean, the school to go to.
I'll mention the other school in town. It's Bishop Gorman. I don't care. I'll mention it. I'd send my kid to Basic.
Over there
I'd send
Basic,
my kid.
I mean, they have a whole lot of, you know, professional experience over there, and the talent around the team and the knowledge the coaches know, you know, what they have to give to the kids. And, you know, it's just fun to watch them. And this year being my son's last year there, it's kind of sad to see it coming, you know, but there's a lot of young talent coming up. And I'm sure all the kids around town, the young ones, I'm sure they're watching Basic, and they're probably thinking if there's a chance to go to Basic, I'm sure they're going to head that way.
Oh, there's no question. I was just about to say, man, I don't care. I would send, you know what, you if my kid had special goods, and Jake's a pretty good ball player. We talked about that on Monday night. You got to meet my son Jacob, and hopefully he swings it into gear before he's too old and doesn't regret the rest of his life, at least not seeing how far he can push it. But, you know, watching basic high school, listening to Coach Baker, seeing the kids and the camaraderie and knowing what he does, I mean, I've got a feeling that Bake probably eats infield turf for breakfast. Just a thought. I mean, this guy lives, eats, breathes, and sleeps baseball. I said it Monday night, and I'll say it again. I do not know every coach in the country, high school coach in the country, but I have to believe, watching what Scott Baker has done over the past couple of years at Basic High School in Henderson, that he has got to be considered one of the elite coaches in high school baseball. And I hope Basic really holds on to him. I don't know how much money they have in the kitty to pay a guy like that, but, man, it's pretty cool when you've got a public school winning state championships, when you have an absolute college feeder system down the road in Bishop Gorman. That is an amazing accomplishment, and how Baker has pulled that off over the past decade is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it truly is amazing. You got to hand it to him, and I mean, his staff, he's kept these guys with him all those years. And he just hired another guy, Jeremy Lipke. He's not a bad baseball guy either. And it just seems every year they just reload and have something to add to the program and for the kids to grow on and build on. And it's just, like you said, the camaraderie, it's always been there. It's just been an amazing ride being here basically for the 4 years we were here. And it's just incredible. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, how much fun to be a part of it. I loved watching Jake and the things he's accomplished, but what Basic has accomplished, to be one of the parents out there. And, I mean, you know, to hear you beaming with pride, I mean, you've got a rich tradition of baseball in your family, and it's definitely continuing with your son, Garrett. And pretty cool, because the one thing I wonder, and Brian Symes also and I talked about this on the phone, I'm probably selling the guy out right now by telling, but, you know, he was just saying, you know, now that, you know, the last three seasons you've had Roger Riley and Jack Thomas Wald as the vocal leaders of that team. And both of them now move on to college. Jack, of course, at UNLV. Roger, we talked about at CSN. And I wonder, and Brian was questioning this, you might have a gauge in this. I know you and Brian sit together during a lot of the games and talk strategy and what's going on. But who is going to take down? I would think Garrett's a guy that is perfectly the guy to take down. But your son is kind of quiet, right? He's one of those guys that leads by example, but you got to have a voice.
Yeah, he's truly that guy that leads by example. I'm trying to get him to speak a little bit, but, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get him to do that. But, you know, like I said, and you're talking about earlier, the camaraderie and the things that they do over there to the kids, I mean, somebody always, you know, in this situation is going to step up. And it's just kind of not knowing who it's going to be, because you got several kids that it's possible that they can step up, but the other coaches is AKA Gas and Robert, they really have a strategy that can get kids to perform and to be motivated. So it's a good thing, and I'd like to see it grow, and it's growing right now right in front of me. And they just had this past weekend, they just had an incredible game, and I think the chemistry is starting to click, because this is kind of a young fall season right now, but it's starting to click, and I'm just looking forward to the next several weeks as fall ball continues.
Yeah, way cool, Brian. Really appreciate it. Brian Giles joining the show today. We're talking a little bit about Roy Holiday, now talking about where his son plays baseball at Basic. And, you know, like I said, parents out there, people listening to the show, I am telling you something. And, Brian, I want to pose this question to you, because I actually, another question I said with Brian earlier, but I know my answer to this. I'm pretty sure I'm going to know your answer. But can you, if you got, you're a kid, and you got your chance, because I look at almost every kid that's starting at Basic would be the star on almost any other high school team in the state of Nevada. They would be the focal point of their team. And yet there are guys that are going to be coming off the bench on Basic High School that would be the focal point on other baseball teams. If you had your chance, Brian, to be a star on one team that's going to be an okay team, they're never going to do a whole great deal, but you'll be the star, or you could be a role player on a team that wins championships, where are you going, brother?
I'm going to be a role player. It's nothing better than being a part of a winning tradition. I mean, anyway, it takes a whole team to win. And it's just, it's an incredible ride as it's played out. And, I mean, it's hard to do. It's something hard to accomplish in baseball because it's such a freaky game that anything can happen, and you never know how the ball is going to bounce. And it's just, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I would definitely play for a team that has a a competitive edge and just an understanding about the game.
You know, Brian.
You know, and it follows up with being a winner.
100%. I couldn't have said any better. I knew I didn't have to speak because I knew you'd get that one right, hit the nail on. You know, the bottom line is I'm not a flashy guy that wears a lot of jewelry and stuff like that, but I'll tell you, when it comes to world championship bling, let me tell you, that's going to be all over me like a hobo on a ham sandwich. I mean, you know, the bottom line is there's nothing like winning championships, and I would take that over being a star any day of the week, and I think most great athletes would say the same thing. As much as they're stars, I mean, Brian, making the show, every team you got to till you got to professional baseball, you were the star on. You had to be. Every guy I know that played in the pros, they were the star of their team. And yet the star says, I want to win championships, man. I want to win championships.
Yeah. That's why you play the game. You know, the hard work, the determination, the desire, you know, and the dedication. It's just the 3 D's, and it's something that I try to teach, you know, as I, you know, go on in my life as a coach. And last year I coached with them and was able to be on the field as they won their first championship. And the rings, you should see the rings. I don't know if you saw a picture of them, but they are incredible.
So it, you want to, like, make me jealous now.
Big league World Series ring. It's just awesome.
I should have had the guys wear them in when they came in. Next time, I'm going to make them all come in, and I'm going to tell them I want to try the rings on. I guarantee one of the rings will get stuck on one of my fingers. That's all I'm hoping for. Really cool. Hey, he is Brian Giles again. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Bri, I just want to tell you again, man, it was an absolute pleasure and honor spending some time with you Monday night. I look forward to a continued friendship and many more times in the future. We got a lot more to talk about, brother, for sure.
Okay. I want to say something real quick to baseball goers out there that are trying to teach their kids. I have a Facebook page, Brian Giles Coach, or Coach Brian Giles, either way. I do this on the side, and I try to get the youth, you know, get them going and getting that dedication, the desire, and that that pizzazz to get them, you know, because most of the time these kids, they have the passion for the game. And if they can be dedicated and have that desire and the determination, the 3 D's, the sky's the limit. And getting the program, there's got a few programs here in town, but the school to go to right now, obviously, is Basic.
Brian, give them your information again where they can get a hold of you if they're interested, please.
Facebook, Coach Brian Giles. I have a website, icebaseball@gmail.com. That's my email. But I'm known pretty much a little bit around the baseball community. I've been here about maybe 7 or 8 years now. It's a baseball town. Was fortunate to coach a little bit with Mike Bryant, Chris Bryant's son, and Joey Gallo, with his father, with his son, his father Tony. And it was just a great ride. It was a team called Team Adidas. I've just been fortunate and blessed here in the baseball community. And to top it off with going to Basic and meeting Scott Baker and the coaching staff, it's just been really incredible. Now I've met you, and we're going to keep this friendship going. And basically, I think Vegas is probably going to be my home away from home, originally from San Diego. But
Hey, Brian, no question about it. You know, my dad has always said in my life that good things happen to good people, so I'm not surprised at all that you've been a blessed man, because a great guy. It was, like I said, pleasure meeting you. And I got to ask Ari before he hang up. Brian stuck me with this question on Monday night, and I didn't have the answer. I want to see if a guy who's a pretty intelligent guy behind the producer board back here can answer it. I want to know, what do they call Manhattan, Kansas?
Wow.
I'm totally oblivious to this. Like,
Brian looked at me like, how do you not know the answer to that? And once you hear the answer, you're going to be like, and the reason I ask it is because Brian Giles was born in Manhattan, Kansas, and he ended up in Manhattan, New York, playing for the Mets. So that's where this whole thing kind of comes from. I mean, he grew up in San Diego, but he was born in Manhattan, Kansas. So give me the name of it. I love this trivia question.
I had no idea there was even a Manhattan, Kansas.
I didn't either, brother. Okay, but the bottom line
is going to be sports trivia.
Well, it is. I mean, we're talking to pro baseball players.
I'm in trouble.
So you don't know. Think about it. It's going to make total sense once you're. It's called the Little Apple.
Oh, wow.
Manhattan.
Yeah, that's clever.
Right? Right after you hear it, you feel like a moron because, like, God, it makes perfect sense. But I like it.
And growing up, Brian, in San Diego, as I was telling you Monday, you know, it's a military town. And jets were flying all over the place. That's all I grew up with.
Right.
My little league team was named Miramar Jets, and so I'm going to tell you real quick. And Alan Trammell, he's from San Diego. There's a lot of pro ball players out of San Diego, and I played against him in little league. And he was 12, and I was 10, and he was throwing a no hitter, and I'm the one that broke it up. But Alan, remember that when I coached 2 years for the Padres in A ball. But anyways, leading to that story, and I end up in New York, Manhattan, Kansas to Manhattan, New York, Flushing, New York, and growing up, you know, in San Diego, and LaGuardia Airport is right there. So from hearing airplanes and seeing the jets and then going to Shea Stadium, you know, at the end of my, you know, my baseball time going that way. The airplanes, here are the airplanes again. So it was a big type of memory for me as a child growing up playing baseball and being an adult, being in the big leagues, you know, with the airplanes.
You know what? I'll bet.
I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Brian, I was going to say, you know what? I always think of one of my favorite sports movie, For the Love of Game, with Kevin Costner. Number one, he was a Detroit Tiger, so of course I love the movie, in the movie. But what I liked is when, you know, the mechanism off. And I got to imagine planes, you know, how loud they are, that when you're in a stadium that's roaring, maybe it's a little bit of help avoiding that distraction because, hey man, I was listening to the jets take off in my ear when I was a little kid. You guys cheering aren't going to get as loud as jets. So, you know, but hey, Brian, again, I really appreciate it, my friend. We will be in touch with you very soon. Thanks for joining the show.
Okay.
Godspeed to Roy Halladay and his family, man. It's unfortunate we had to learn the way the plane crashed. You know, I wish I would have just heard that an engine failed or something, you know, too bad. But you take care, Brian. We will talk to you very soon.
Okay, thanks, Brian.
Absolutely. Brian Giles, former Major League Baseball player, and definitely check out the Facebook page. You want to learn. One thing I will say about Brian Giles and tell you about this guy, this guy was an amazing fielder. You have to go Google him and check out some of the plays he made at second base. Especially, I saw a bunch of them. You saw on a highlight reel, the New York Mets. You'll see him making those plays for the Brewers in 85, the White Sox in 86, and the Mariners in 90. But definitely check this guy's video highlights out, man. It was really cool. I was watching him on Monday night at the game. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Emily Van Buskirk. Emily is the lead writer for college football and basketball for the sportsfansjournal.com. And she also has a podcast with Kaylee Krish that is awesome. They've just got picked up by a network. It's called Sideline Sass. It is really cool. And Emily and I will talk about that. But mainly, we are going to be talking college football. It has been a wacky, wild year in college football. It does this every year. But this year in particular, pretty crazy, man. We'll talk about that more. You are listening to Game On. I'm Brian Feldman, 4 Seat Williams, 920 The Game, NBC Sports Radio.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
It is Game On, and if you're a regular listener, obviously I'm not Seat Williams. I am coming off the bench today and tomorrow for Seat Williams. I'm Brian Feldman, and we'll be here for another half hour, a little bit after 33. It is Game On. This is NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. And if you have something to say, give me a call. 702-365-9200 is the NBC Sports Radio Hotline. Right now, joining us on the Sports Radio Hotline, a very good friend of mine. It's been too long, as I said in a text message the other day. Emily Van Buskirk, she is the lead writer for the sportsfanjournal.com, and she is co-host of the hottest new sports podcast recently picked up by a network, which we're going to talk about. It's called Sideline Sass. She does it with another lady named Kaylee Krish. They are funny. They are awesome. On the most recent one, they just had defensive back, former defensive back of the San Francisco 49ers, a pretty damn good one and a hard hitter in Eric Davis. Emily, what is going on in college football this year? Why does it have me being like that guy in the commercial that's banging his head on a low ceiling?
First of all, can I just have you do my hype video every time I enter a room? Because that was about the best I've ever sounded. So I got to say thank you for that.
Wait till they hear you. You sound great every time you're on the air. Why do you think I keep going back to you? Pretty soon I'm going to have to start paying you, and then I'm going to have to hide out. Once the check bounces, I'm going to have to run around and hide out.
Well, you are right about college football. It has been a crazy season, start to finish, from what we thought we knew week one to what we know now, to really, we don't know anything except that, you know, Baker Mayfield is the real deal. The Pac-12 is just full of cannibals. And we're getting closer and closer to those four precious spots. But really, it's a little bit up in the air. I think that there's cases to be made for any of the top 10.
There's huge cases to be made. And speaking of Baker Mayfield, we got a little audio highlight of that guy, don't we, Ari? Go ahead.
Play fake. Mayfield goes through his progressions. Wide open. Caught. Dimitri Flowers. Touchdown, OU. 49 yards.
We play with an edge, and that edge is great for us. We know how to win on the road. We know how to battle adversity, go into a hostile environment. And so, you know, down the road, with the playoff committee looking at us, going into a hostile environment or on the road is a good thing for us. We play well.
Yeah, I would say they play well, and I would say he plays well. He's a tough guy. You know, I wasn't overly enchanted with Baker Mayfield. I don't know why something bothered me about him. Maybe it was the fact when they beat Ohio State, and I hate Ohio State, but going to the middle of the field and dissing them because he felt they did it the year before, because Ohio State did something the year before that they always do in games, and, you know, he didn't really do his due diligence, and no, they weren't dissing him personally or Oklahoma personally, but he took it that way. Maybe that's why I was disenchanted with him, but the bottom line is right now, he has got to be the odds-on favorite for the Heisman Trophy, right?
It's insane. This kid, you talk about that flag little stint. I loved it. That won me over. So I love this kid. I love everything he does. I already ordered my Trader T-shirt. It's coming in the mail. You know, he
it wouldn't have anything to do with the fact that he's a really...
And that clip you just played, I just put it in my stat article. I do a weekly stat column for our site. And I put that same clip in there, and all I had to do was basically write his stat line from the Oklahoma State game, 598 yards, 6 touchdowns, and then that's it. That's all she wrote.
6 touchdowns, 5 in the air, 1 on the ground. The guy broke all kinds of records. In the first half, he had broken records. But, it wouldn't have anything to do with it. He's a good-looking guy, too, would it?
No, I'm not going to be crazy enough to sneak in his DMs like some people, but we would love to have Baker on the podcast. I know Kaylee would love, she would love it. She would have all kinds of good questions. And he's just the kind of guy that you can just talk to. He's hilarious. He doesn't take himself too seriously. Like, I love watching him. I love watching him talk. I think he's hilarious. Well, I want him to win the Heisman.
Baker Mayfield, when I talk about Baker Mayfield, I use two words, football player. Yeah. He is the epitome of a football player. This guy loves the game. He's a throwback. I think he could have played in any era, and I think because of his heart, maybe not so much his ability. He definitely has ability, but his heart is going to get him playing at the next level, and he may even well be successful at the next level because it is an intangible that you just can't coach, and this kid has it, and I got to give it up to him right now. He definitely has my vote. I was giving a lot of love to Mr. Love at Stanford for a little while, but I don't think I just think all of them, and really last weekend everybody had a bad game, and Mayfield had a ridiculous game. I mean, if there was any hope for JT Barrett to win the Heisman Trophy, bye-bye, that's gone.
Yeah.
And you got a pretty damn good running back at Penn State, but he played very pedestrian last weekend, and Baker and Mayfield not only poked the nose in front, he's about two lengths out front right now, and they're not quite coming down the stretch yet, but I'll tell you what, you want to win the Heisman, you better get on his heels in a big-time hurry. What's going on? The other, you know, all this stuff. Number one, I'm bothered that we have 2 1-loss teams in the top 4 when you've got a Big Ten team, Wisconsin. Now, I understand the level of play, the power rankings, and the teams that they've played, but I will argue with anyone that the Big Ten might be the best conference top to bottom in the country right now, and yet an undefeated team isn't in the top four. They're going to find a way to get them in there. Let me tell you, they will find a way. If Wisconsin runs the table, gets to the Big Ten title game and wins it, they will be in the playoff. You can mark that down. TCU, another one. Tougher conference. They're being banged for their power schedule, which I think is pretty damn good, and they're getting not rewarded. Clemson, I understand the reputation. Two of the last three Final Fours, okay, defending national championships, but they lost. And how in the world Georgia is in front of Alabama is beyond me. Hey, I'm not going to ever, you'll never see me wearing crimson, okay? I'm not a fan. Nick Saban, member coach at Michigan State when he started the run before LSU, Miami Dolphins, and now Alabama for years. He's you know, you can't argue that he's the best college coach in the country, although Jim Harbaugh's salary might say otherwise. But the bottom line is Alabama should be number one, right?
See, I disagree. I like Georgia. I'm on the Georgia train. I'm heading to Atlanta for the Georgia Tech game, actually. Kaylee and I will be there. We've been fans for a while, and I'll tell you the one statistic that sticks out to me about them, because they're good. I love their freshman quarterback. He's great. He doesn't have to do too much because the run game's so phenomenal.
He doesn't have to do anything.
Nick Chubb and, yeah. Well, okay, not anything, but he throws when he has to. But the statistic I love about them is their red zone offense percentage is 97%. Yeah. They've only missed one time when they're in the red zone. Consistency, repetition, all of that stuff, you can count on Georgia. And that's what college football needs, is a team that you can count on. I sound like a politician, but
I vote for Emily Van Buskirk, and I'm not going to say her. But the point is, she wouldn't win because I'd be giving you the alias last name. But that's for us to know and for them to find out. You know, and again, only reason I disagree, it is long-term body of work and reputation. And I still feel that by the time the playoffs come around, that a freshman quarterback could be the problem, because what they are going to do, you know what Bama's going to do with that ridiculous defense they have. And I'm you know, assuming, obviously, it's a huge assumption. A lot of things have to happen for those teams to play in the national championship game. But if it does happen, I think it would be a phenomenal game. But I think Georgia, they are going to stack the box. They are going to put nine men in the box and make the freshmen beat them. And the problem is they have a hell of a secondary in Tuscaloosa as well. So I just don't know how that's going to play out, because, again, will that freshman quarterback, Alabama and Nick Saban are going to make sure that if they lose that game, it's going to be by his arm, not by the running of the two-headed monster in the backfield.
And that's absolutely true, but the kid – yes, he doesn't have to throw that much, but when he does throw, if you look at his numbers, I was trying to pull up some right now, but I just wrote about him not long ago, and I do appreciate his consistency, another word I would use with Georgia, because when he does throw, his passes are precise, they're on the money, he can drop dimes. He just doesn't have to do it all the time, but he can do it, and I have faith in him even though he is a freshman. And what we have to remember is that Kirby Smart, he came from the school of Nick Saban. So whatever Saban's going to throw to him, he already knows. So it's going to be, if they do meet and that's what ends up happening, that's going to be phenomenal for college football.
I hope it happens, because I'll tell you what I don't hope happens. I do not want to see the number three team with a loss because of their name get into this playoffs. I am praying that Miami, who I think is the most disrespected team in the country right now, the longest winning streak in college football at 13 games right now in D1 ball, they're the first time that these two teams have played at Miami, I believe, since like 89, right? Since Miami, is that right? Something like that, since they played at Miami, playing on the Canes home field? Yeah, since like 89. The last loss the Canes had, ironically, was last year to Notre Dame. Why is Miami getting no love?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And you know what's funny is I was going through the top 25 and looking at who their key wins were and all the things that the committee would be looking at. And I got to Miami, and they have a good record, but none of the teams that they've beaten are ranked. And I think the game that they play this weekend against Notre Dame is going to be the determinant whether, okay, this is the real deal resurgence of the U, or whether they've just been playing decent teams but haven't quite play someone at that next level. I do love watching them, and it's been fun. I love the turnover chain. That's like my other favorite thing about college football. But this Notre Dame game is going to be telling, I think.
100%. I couldn't agree more. What about TCU? Do you believe in them? Do you believe in the Frogs?
That's tough. I love Gary Patterson. I'm actually going out to cover TCU Texas Tech in 2 weeks. But again, I'm looking at their wins: Oklahoma State, Iowa State. Those are good wins. But they do play Oklahoma this weekend at Oklahoma, and that game again, that's another telling game. You know, I don't know how they're going to fare against Baker Mayfield, because nobody tends to go up against him and survive. But that's going to be another. We'll be able to see after that game if they're the real deal. I do like how they play. I like how Patterson coaches, but they've still got some obstacles to overcome.
How much does that dilute the Oklahoma victory over Ohio State, with Ohio State getting beat last weekend by Iowa?
It's definitely not their signature victory at this point. But I still think the Ohio State name stands for something, and the manner in which they managed to persevere in that game, that also counts for something. I think grit is what defines the Oklahoma Sooners, and Baker Mayfield is a perfect representation of just a gritty player. So I don't think it diminishes them, but it's definitely not their what you're going to circle first when it comes to looking at stellar performances or wins.
Well, they still got a pretty good chance to get in. The bottom line is someone's losing Saturday between Notre Dame and Miami. Unlike professional football, they will play until next Saturday, if it's a tie game, till somebody wins. So somebody will win that game. I got to ask you about another guy, Em, that you know, I liked him when he was playing college football and he was a quarterback. I never knew he had this kind of football smarts and savvy. I've been paying attention to him in the last couple of years, but it is nothing short of miraculous what Scott Frost is doing down at Central Florida, wouldn't you say?
I do. I have some friends that are Central Florida fans, and one specifically we had on our podcast too. His name is Vince Catronio. He is the broadcaster for the Oakland A's, and he's actually an alum. So he has been trying to get me on that hype for a long, long time. And finally he tweeted on the other day, is like, "Oh, looks like you jumped on the bandwagon." But I have. I think they're a talented team. I do like Scott Frost. I think he's a talented guy. He's making the most out of what he has, and it's unfortunate that they're not getting more love. But I think they just need to finish out the season strongly. And if they can win all those games, then people will pay attention. You know, I love Mackenzie Milton. He's my dark horse Heisman. Like, if this kid, 2,707 yards, 23 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions.
Crazy.
He's ranked behind. What?
No, it's crazy how good he is. I'm like, seriously.
He's really crazy.
Really, really good. The kid would be a star at any school in the country. And and there's no question, the record is pretty much a reflection of how good he is. But hey, she's Emily Van Buskirk, a college football and basketball lead writer for the sportsfansjournal.com. And she is co-host, which we're going to talk about in a minute, of the hottest new podcast. It is called Sideline Sass. You will love it. They are sassy. They're ridiculous. She's getting ready to talk about Eric Davis. I'm listening to the podcast. She goes, "Yeah, we'll talk to Eric Davis about that football nonsense." I'm like, "Who says that? That was awesome." It makes you want to just keep listening. It's compelling. Her and Kaylee are great. You definitely want to check that out. And we'll fill in on where to check that out. Ari's Mizrahi behind the big board. I'm Brian Feldman, filling in for Seat Williams today. This is Game On. And college football right now, you know, one of the things that really is cool to me, being a fan of the Big Ten, is what Northwestern has done over the past 3 weeks, something that has never been done before in history, a team to go to overtime 3 straight weeks and win all 3 games. How cool was that?
That is pretty cool. I've had a hard time with Northwestern. They always give Stanford a tough game when Stanford goes out there. For some reason, they play terrible there. And that seems to be a theme for people that come in there. But it is cool to see a team like that, you know, make a national headline. So I like it. I like the little guys. You know, I've always been a fan.
I think everybody in their own right, we all kind of pull for the underdog, and they would be the underdog. Last thing I'll tell you, Em, before I have you tell me about the podcast, and I want to let everyone know, people, I am telling you, they've done 6 now. They've been picked up by a network. We'll talk about this in a minute. These girls not only know their stuff, it's comedy. It's entertaining. I didn't realize that. I was going to listen to about 10 minutes, and I only got to listen to about 25 minutes, but I only had 10 minutes to listen, and you screwed up my entire schedule because I was enjoying it so much. I couldn't turn it off. You know, tell me what's going on with the Pac-12. I mean, this is head-scratching with USC and UCLA. The beginning of the year, that's all everybody talked about. Sam Darnold and Jeff Rosen and how great these guys are and the 1-2 punch in the NFL. And ever since that ridiculous game I watched against Texas A&M with UCLA where they came back in that game and just blew my mind when I was texting you saying, you know, what in the hell is going on?
The Pac-12, I'll tell you, it's a heck of a thing to cover because you come in with all these expectations. USC was ranked really high. Josh Rosen was like the second coming. We call him, you know, the chosen Rosen. But then nothing really pans out the way you think. The only thing that I think is solid in the Pac-12 right now is Washington and their defense. You know, they lead the nation in defense. And I think this game against Stanford that they have coming up Friday, this is going to be a very interesting game because Stanford is not quite out of it. Yes, they lost to Washington State. Yes, Bryce Love's not 100%, and he may not even play. But if they can make noise against Washington, that's really going to bring down the Pac-12 infrastructure because if Washington can't make it through, they're the best bet to get into the college football playoff, I think. If they can't get through and without getting eaten alive, then nobody can.
Yeah.
So ESPN on College Game Day, they talked about the Circle of Doom. I just want to say that idea, it's called the Circle of Suck, and it was from myself and my friend Alex. He did the graphic, but my tweet about all the teams beating each other was what they got that from for game day. Of course, no credit, no love, but they did use that, and that's exactly what the Pac-12 is, the Circle of Suck.
Well, they never give any love out. They take credit for it themselves. You know, that's why they call themselves the sports leader. We are the leader because we take from everybody else. I didn't say
right.
That. Anyway, real quickly, last thing I got to say, David Shaw. He is going to miss this window. Right now, I think he can almost write his ticket. He can get in the NFL, pretty much go to a lot of programs. They've been talking about the guy for a couple of years. I'm not going to say I'm a gigantic fan, but I'm definitely not a hater. David Shaw can flat out coach football. What do you think, Em? Is he going to stay at Stanford? I know he loves it there. I know he has said before that he's going to be at Stanford for a long, long time, but every coach says that.
David Shaw. The thing about David Shaw is that he's in control of his own destiny there. He can stay, and he will stay, in my opinion, and he said he would stay for as long as he wants. And when he's ready to leave, he'll leave. But I don't think it's now. I think, yes, the past couple games we've finally seen a little bit of his true nature come out in that he's very stubborn. He did not want to put in KJ Costello when Keller Chris was struggling. You know, he did not want to do all these things. And now that stubbornness is coming to light a little bit now that he's gaining some criticism for it and not playing Costello. And then throwing Costello under the bus in the Washington State game. That was tough. But David Shaw is a very smart individual. He does think very highly of the way and his ideas. And he does believe that he's right. And oftentimes he is. But being right once doesn't make you right all the time. Case in point, Stanford running the Wildcat, Stanford throwing the end zone fade. Those were good ideas once in a while, but just because they work once doesn't mean you have to run them all the time. So I think Shaw's going to stay. I think, though, he's going to have to be put in check a little bit, and we need to see more offensive coordinator calls rather than letting Shaw call the offensive plays.
I agree. My point is that window's going to close. If he continues and doesn't have a lot of success, pretty soon he's going to be forced to stay at Stanford, and one day they might even fire him. Emily, tell everyone, want to hear about the podcast, how they can find you on the sportsfanjournal.com. I also want them to know how to find you on the podcast. People, I am telling you, I'm not blowing smoke because Emily is my friend and on the road right now. This is entertaining, and get to listen to her now before this podcast blows up because I'm only promoting her this much because when she becomes big time, I'm expecting invites on the show. I'm going to get famous on the coattails of Emily Van Busker. Tell them about how to find you.
That's very kind. We're just thrilled, Kaylee and I, that this has been such a fun and successful venture. The podcast is called Sideline Sass. You can find it on audioboom.com or you can go ahead and follow it on iTunes, which we would love. And it's basically Kaylee and I giving our perspective on the sports world as two females. Haley is a broadcaster. I'm a sports writer. We have a very unique relationship, friendship, and bond that has survived the cutthroat sports world. And we have some amazing stories, experiences like being with Marshawn Lynch in Australia to traveling to Nashville and covering, you know, Middle Tennessee football, having the offensive coordinator on. We have a lot of friends in the industry, and we're going to be having them all on the podcast at various times. So it's definitely, I think it's fun. We love hearing feedback from people, so please check it out and let us know what you think.
Well, I'm going to check out what I think, and I'm coming up to San Francisco because I want to hang in the Alchemist Lounge above your favorite bar. Trust me, I want to be there. I need a beer there. Hey, she's Emily Van Busker. Check her out. Awesome. Em, as always, greatly appreciate you having on the show. Last thing, tell me right now, best team in college basketball 2017-2018.
Oof. That's so tough.
You don't have any time.
I'm gonna go Kansas because that's my go-to. They're coming out here to play Stanford. I can't wait to see it.
Oh man, rock chalk. Now, being a Michigan State grad, I should have had Ari cut you off right there when you started. We have a bad history with Kansas. Listen, you take care of yourself. We'll have you on Out of Line again shortly. Always appreciate you, Em.
Thanks,
Emily Van Buskirk, SportsFanJournal.com, and also Sideline Sass. Good stuff, man. Make sure you do it. I want to thank Emily. I want to thank my other guest, Brian Giles, former league major league player. Again, condolences out to the family of Roy Holiday, man. Terrible story. Want to thank Ari Mizrahi, man. Thanks for hooking this up, Ari. Always appreciate you, brother.
Anytime.
Loved
tomorrow,
it. Again, this is Game On. Seat Williams, I'm not him. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game. I'm Brian Feldman, and I'm out.